start no bullshit here. All right, I'm an addict. My name is Donald. I want to thank the program of Narcotics Anonymous and my higher power for another day cleaning. For that, I'm truly grateful. I'm also grateful that recovery makes sense to me today, because for a long time it didn't. I had the honor and privilege to introduce to some and present to others my friend, my brother, Brian Mack from Philly, by way of Seattle, Washington. I'm sure the warmer you welcome him, the better he'll share. Be Mack.
I'm an addict. My name is Brian. All right. Well, that was like the first time. I'm not super comfortable yet saying I'm from Seattle. So I wear the shirt, too, just to remind myself that is where I live. First of all, before I start, I want to thank this young man for the countless texts and the calls and the messages and the love. Because, you don't get that everywhere you go. In NA, sometimes they're like, hey, you want to come to the convention? See you when you get there. And then you never even see the people. They don't even say thank you. So, just the area as a whole, you guys are great. I've been down here a couple times. What's wrong? Hey, you say it out loud. You not hear me? Can't hear me at all?
Right.
It's going to be different in a minute. I trust you. Trust me. I'm excited to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm grateful for the invitation. I'm sure, just like a lot of you people, I remember not being invited anywhere. I absolutely remember if I was invited, you did not invite me back. I might get one invite by accident. So anytime I get invited anywhere, it's an honor. And then on top of that, it's an honor when anybody, it's still not mind-blowing, but it's just a miracle that I have value and worth to people's lives. That somebody's interested, not only just up here, but even like on a one-on-one conversation, that you're interested in what I have to say and believe that it holds value. And even more interesting than that, it's a miracle that I know that that's true, because there was a while where that was true, but I didn't believe it, because I suffer from the same illness that you do, low self-esteem, insecurity, low self-worth, just all this stuff. So I'm not going to get into all of that, but I'll probably touch on it a little bit. So I just say all that to say that I'm grateful to be here, and I'm excited that somebody thought it was a good idea to hear me talk for a little while. I'm not gonna say that my act of addiction was quick and it sucked. So even if I wanted to come up here and tell you a 45-minute long war story, I don't even got one. My war story ain't even 45 minutes long. And I remember getting clean. I just moved to Seattle 2 years ago, but my first 30 years of clean time was in Philadelphia. So I walked into Narcotics Anonymous in 1994, and my first year was in the inner city. And I remember hearing so at that time in 94, you had like all the crackheads from like the 80s who were starting to feel themselves. Y'all had like 4 or 5 years clean. And they were sharing crazy, and they were talking about stuff I couldn't identify with, right? Because they were still, like, it was a big deal in 94 to talk about the war story. That was a thing. Like, and if your war story was really great, they really asked you to come up here, right? I remember, y'all were talking about, hearing trains, and, they hit the pipe and hear the trains. I never heard no trains, right? So I don't know what you were talking about. Smoking drywall and crawling the blinds and that just wasn't my story. So I didn't know what y'all were talking about. But look, I can tell you this: it was exciting listening to you say it. I was excited. I was like, man, these fucking people are crazy. I was like, I like it. I quickly, I came around and was quickly connected to not so much I went to my first convention was the Greater Philadelphia Regional Convention in 95 at the Adams Mark Hotel on Sea Lion Avenue. And I don't remember who the main speaker was. I couldn't tell you one word they said. I don't remember any of that. All I remember was that I had this emotional connection to the spirit of what this guy was portraying that night, and the response from you guys to what the guy was saying was more attractive to me than anything else I'd ever been attracted to. And I was like, I want the thing that was happening in the room, I want it, right? And I was like, I'll do anything to get it, except for sponsorship or step work. You know how we are. Like when you're new, if you're like me, I was new. I got clean. It was 2 months before I turned 17 years old. I had 2 seizures and a stroke, and I still didn't think I had a problem. And a judge knew I did, so he tossed me away for 2 years. And I came out in the NA in the inner city of Philadelphia when I was 18 years old, and then hung out with them, and then moved out to Norristown and met this guy right here, Patrick. He's the only guy in the room who's known me since I was a teenager, so he can tell you that. When I tell you how crazy I am, he can validate it. But what I came around and I thought, you guys are all older, and you guys are sicker than me because you're older than me, and I wasn't hearing trains and all that. I was only snorting heroin, you know. It wasn't a big deal, you know. Everybody else saw it was a big deal, but I like what's happening here, so I don't need to do all this extra, like, you guys are, like, looking for extra credit on the homework, you know, with all the stuff you're doing. I don't need all that. I'm going to go make meetings, and I'm going to go down 22nd and Chestnut, and I'm going to learn how to play spades with Patrick and Old Head Don, and, you know, that's what we're going to drink way too much coffee, and I'm going to get in any relationship with anybody that will have me. Right? And then I'm probably going to get in a relationship with their friend after we're done. And that's how it's going. Maybe I'll get a job. Maybe I won't. You know, I was the guy. I don't know, Patrick, you remember. I had a 87 Celebrity Wagon, right? And I was the guy who had the car and the license. So I put all the newcomers in the car and called it being in service. But what I wasn't telling you was that I didn't want to work, so I charged everybody for the rides, right? So I could afford to go to the diner. But then when we went to the diner, I had the extra money. I would buy people the meals to look like I was crazy. You know, so I decided I wasn't doing no step work. And I failed to, like, really hear. But I made meetings. I overdosed on the meeting attendance. You know, so we talk about how the joy is in the journey. You know, and I wouldn't change, like, today, looking back on the stories, I wouldn't change not one minute of any of this. Because all of it was, like, the necessary concoction of events and emotions to connect me to the eventual work. Right? Because everybody needs their... there's a guy, a lot of us have heard of him, this guy named Charlie C. I always like to give credit to the people who have said things that I've heard that have kind of had a real impact on me. And I remember hearing Charlie C. say, early in my clean time, he said, defects of character are trying to finish off the job that the drugs did it, right? So when I heard him say it, I was like, yeah, you fancy. But until I started getting stay clean long enough and hit a bottom in my clean time with those defects of character is when I got thrusted to the whole idea of sponsorship, and I started hearing the thing, like, we don't read the readings in the beginning of the meeting for no reason. I thought that was just like, you know, this was just, I didn't know what was happening, you know? Like, we didn't really have cell phones at the time, so I wasn't, like, cell phone playing, but I wasn't listening, right, either. I wasn't listening to the names of the readings. Like, they didn't apply to me, right? So I didn't think I needed a sponsor, so I didn't hear, but I thought I needed to go to meetings. So I went to, like, 3 or 4 meetings a day, because you could do that. I go to the 10 o'clock, the noon, the 5, you know, the 7. I went to all the meetings, right, and thought, you ever try to, like, overdose on or just try to, like, overcompensate in one area because you lack it in another, and thinking that that's going to pull the area you want. That's me. I think if I just do enough meetings and make enough meetings and get involved in, I even get involved in regional literature committee when the step working guy was in play, and nobody thought, you know, on the regional literature committee for the step working guy to ask me if I had a sponsor. I was like, that wasn't even a prerequisite to have input on the step work, you know. So, but I thought if I OD'd on service and making meetings that I would be good. But, and I was missing when you were reading every meeting. They read this reading. You read it today, and some of y'all missed it because we're all the same. So somebody in here missed this, and it's called How It Works. I was like, the whole idea of how it works missed me. So I never thought to ask myself what it was. That just is complete. What are they talking about? How it works. And then I thought later that we should break this down easily for people who are slow to the game like me. And so my first sponsor explained to me, it is how recovery works. It's how you get to keep a clean date, and then experience our message as it's described in our fifth tradition. Any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. You get that. That's it. And how you get it is what How It Works begins to describe. I wasn't listening. Right? I was worried about going to the diner and playing spades and, you know, getting a couple of dollars from the newcomers, and then even in the readings, you know, even for people who are slower than me, right after it says that, like, because they knew, I think God knew when he's putting the stuff together that he was talking to slow people. And so he was like, yo, I know you're going to need it explained a little more. It's not like we could just, but God was like, but I just can't tell Brian how it works and then get into the steps. He's going to need a little mini paragraph to describe about what I'm about to give to him, right? And he goes, now I'm self-centered, so I'm at the things talking to me, and it's like, yo, Brian, if you want what we have to offer, right? So, but because I was OD'd in service, you know, and wanted to sound good, I'd really been reading the traditions. So I connected, if you want what we have to offer, to the third tradition. And so I was able to say to myself, all right, the third tradition says that the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using. And what I really liked in there, because I don't like being told what to do or being, judged, or it says that desire is an unmeasurable, is a commodity that can't be measured. Like, you can't decide, Brian, group, anybody who and who does not have the desire based on what they look like. It's not based on a clean date. Right, so check it out. So this is for the people, you know, who are in the room, or maybe the people who might be listening to this in 10 years. If you find yourself on any kind of drug replacement, whatever, we're talking, and I'm talking about the desire to stop using, yes, exclusively. Yes. If you are high and you in the meeting, our job as the group is to assume that you got it. And then the third tradition tasks us with an actionable item for those individuals, which is to what? Fan the flame of desire. But the period, it don't end there. It says not dampen it. So if I see somebody that is not clean in accordance to me, who gives a fuck? Nobody asked you, Brian. Because the third tradition already knew, Brian, that you was going to mess this up if we left it up to you. So what we did, Brian, is we put in some traditions to protect you and the newcomer from each other so that you and the newcomer collectively can continue to experience the message, which is that an addict, any addict, clean, high, black, white, they, them, all those people, everybody, no matter who you are, can experience the message, right? Any addict can stop using drugs, lose his desire to use, right, and find a new way to live. So I connected that if you want what we have to offer thing to the third tradition, that's mine. And I'm in NA, and y'all can't kick me out. And it don't matter how much I act up, it don't matter. Well, now, we're just talking about as far as you being able to remove me, right? There's other things, like, you know, but as far as, like, you know, how many newcomers I slept with, no matter how many jobs I got fired from, no matter how much and how crazy I was, you couldn't remove me. Now, you could tell me some things, and thank God for the people that did, right? But so I knew that I wanted what y'all had to offer. You know, so I didn't really, like, I told you I got clean when I was 16, 2 months before I turned 17. That was, like, I think I was in, like, ninth grade. I don't remember. I got expelled. I was on the run. So, like, I had, like, a ninth grade on dope education. Not much. And so my sponsor at the time, like, you know, you had to, like, get a dictionary. And, hey, he had me look up words like, he was like, go look up the word end. I'm like, come on, man. Like, you just doing this to, so you can go to the meeting and tell the group that you'd be telling your sponsees to look, you know, so you could sound cute. But I found out that the word and is a conjunction word. I didn't even heard a conjunction word before I came to NA. If you want what we have to offer, and, that means that there's something coming after it that's going to connect it to the first part. Right? I needed to know this stuff, y'all. I didn't know. This next thing after and is conjoining the first part. So it said, if you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it. And that was something that the people who were in my life at the time, everybody got their own experience. They were judging me on the willing because it was something they could see. Yo, Brian, do a 90 and 90. I'll do that. Brian, get a sponsor. Nah. That's a judgeable move right there. Right? We could see it. Right? But by the time that the pain was right, I needed to, you know, we all have this right kind of ass whooping that we're, that almost is, you know, it's almost like, I'm not a religious person. I promise y'all, right? I don't price, and I don't care who does what. But I'm just telling you, I like words. Right? And so it was almost like, I don't pray certain, face a certain direction. I don't go anywhere on a specific day. So don't get offended if I use words that you think are associated with those places because the words came up before the places did. Right? So I'm just giving you a little disclosure for the words game. I know that every single thing that happened to me was like ordained. Right? It was put together in this perfect concoction necessary. Right, so all the time I wasn't doing all that step work was putting me in the position, or say, I'm going to loosely butcher the quote because I don't even have my books with me, right? So all you good literature people can get me after the meeting. But in the second step, it talks about, you know, in the basic text, it says, we suffer, you know, we learn to live without drugs or anything to replace them. This pain forces us to seek a power greater than ourselves. I got that 99% right for all you, you know, if you like me. Because if you like me, I'll be like this. Come on, he lying. Don't say that. You know, but that's what I used to do. But it says that, you know, we learn to live without drugs or anything to replace them. Now, I know what it's like to live without drugs, but I replaced them with some stuff. But the 12 steps put me in a place where the drugs go and all the stuff that I've been using in my clean time to replace the drugs that have gone, they're not working no more. And check it out. It's an actual second step recipe for pain. No drugs, nothing to replace them. This pain forces us to seek a power greater than ourselves. Right? So I needed all the necessary stuff to connect me to how it works. If you want what we have to offer and you're willing to make the effort to get it, then when you got those two things, B, then you're ready to take certain steps. And then if that could have been enough, right? And then we could have gone right on to one. Because you would figure by the time you're ready to take certain steps, you're ready to take the steps, B. But they needed one more thing for people like me. They needed to let me know at the end of that paragraph that these are the principles that make recovery possible. So Brian, all your dances you be going to, right? All the spades and tournaments and P-knuckle and... listen, you know, somewhere in our literature it says that social acceptability does not equal recovery. Now, if you like me, when I read that, I connected that with out there. You know, like a job, a bank account, a degree, my car, my house, whatever. But what about the social acceptability in here that don't equal recovery? You know, like, about, like, you know, when one of the speakers gets done speaking and then I want to put that speaker somewhere they don't belong because they sounded like something. And I think that, because, listen, when I heard the people doing this and they sounded good, I was like, man, that he's recovering. He is a great recovering addict. And somehow, just because you can't sound that good and then not have an edge on somebody that doesn't sound that good to me. Right, but what I learned is that in the 12th, listen, I'm a big fan of all of the literature, all of it. It's all applicable to me, right? So I learned in the 12th tradition, you know, in the word anonymity means that we're all the same, right? And not only does that mean that regardless of your financial status, Brian, your social status, your marital status, your employment status, your educational status, that stuff too. But also, what is all the same in the context of being members of NA mean, Brian? It means that you and I suffer or are inflicted with the same illness. I got the same illness you got. So when I had a year clean and I was watching you with 10 years clean, and watching the illness play you in a way that it hadn't played me, I was like this. He's a sick motherfucker. You know what I mean? Look at that dude. He got 10 years. Like that was some kind of thing. Like a number had anything to do with the ability to apply principles. Right? I thought that, you know, because you got clean on a specific year, that meant that you should be able to live right. I know I'm the only one that's ever looked around the room and said, oh, she got 20 years and she shouldn't, or he should. I know I'm the only one that's ever done that. So anonymity showed me and said, yo, Brian, everybody suffers from the same illness and has the same equal right at receiving the devastation that the disease of addiction has to offer. Everybody. There's no area of my life that the disease could infiltrate that it couldn't do to you. Because it's the same illness, right? And anonymity also means this, though, that we all have the same equal right and opportunity to achieve freedom from that disease as anybody else. So there is nobody else in NA. Because listen, I got a problem with self-worth. And so I already come into the room thinking that I'm operating at a disadvantage, right? So I walked in NA and I had all my past stuff was a disadvantage. And then I spent some time in NA and I sit around and I look around and I'm listening and I'm thinking, man, well, I'm just not like, I'm just gonna say, fuck it, you might never have to come back here. You know, I'm just not the big Jesus freak. And these Jesus people seem to have a monopoly on spiritual principles in NA. Right? And that's not me. I'm the guy that, hey, sometimes I'm in the belief, sometimes I'm out of the belief, and sometimes I have questions about the God of my understanding and how it works in my life. And check it, I got an 11th step that says, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve. Now, look, if you don't improve something that's done, yeah. Right? But I ain't never done. And I want to always be involved in the steps. So every time I find myself revisiting an 11th step, I gotta ignore what's going on out here. And I gotta know, because sometimes, there's like, it's funny, you hear funny stuff in that, amen. You're gonna hear the best and worst shit you ever heard here, right? You know, because I heard people say, you know, you hear like this, fake it till you make it. That makes sense sometimes, until it doesn't. And nobody's going to tell you when it doesn't. So it's like, all right, well, when am I? Because then in the third step it says, Well, we got to be honest about our beliefs if we are to grow spiritually. So this ain't a scenario or a relationship that I could front and fake my way into because of what the group's doing. But you know what I could front and fake my way into? I fronted and faked my way into getting clean. That's my experience. I was uninterested, y'all. I came around, I was like, it was a Friday night, went to the meet. I'm like, what are y'all doing after the meet? They're like, we're going bowling. I'm like, I'm using drugs again, man. There ain't no way. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, and remember we go down to Senator Whitaker in Norris House, a 24-hour bowling alley. And I just showed up, and I hated it. I was like, this sucks. It's the worst. And then we go to the diner. Food was bad. You know, it's just the whole thing was corny. But I went. You know what they talk about? There's another cliche, the bring the body and the mind will follow. I just kept showing up. And this is a true story. You know what happened? I kept showing up, and I started a bowling league. I tell no lies. Patrick will tell you. We had 100 people. 100 people in a bowling league. You know, we were all going to the meet. Look, I bowled a 299 one time. Darcy, my girlfriend, thinks I'm lying. I'm telling you, I bowled 12 strikes in a row. This is how good I got at bowling. 12 strikes in a row and then rolled a 9. I was mad as shit. I was like, damn, the whole play, everybody's watching. So I'm saying, like, there's some play times when bring the body and the mind will follow makes sense. But there's sometimes where I got to be honest about what it is I believe in. And I got to ignore what's happening out here because it's easy to get caught up with what the fellowship is doing, right? And ignore about what my spirit is trying to tell me, right? So what I do is, but here's what I know. I'm not going to beat the meeting up for the next hour, but there's some things I want to know that I know that are absolutely, because somebody, not only somebody in this meeting, but somebody in every workshop this weekend and every main meeting and in any meeting that any of you ever go to forever, there will always be one addict in that meeting that day, that night, that's suffering. Maybe they're suffering and they're telling us about it, but a lot of times they're suffering and they're not. They're not telling us about it, but they're in the meeting. And so I remember being somebody in NA who suffered for years because of this distorted belief. I had this belief system of this. I believed I could get clean because you were clean. So I came to NA, but I spent years knowing that I would never be able to really get better. I knew I could get clean, but I wasn't really going to have a life that was worth living. That was for some other people. I could get clean and not use drugs. But I was bound to be broke in shitty relationships, you know, because that's just where I come from and what I've seen my whole life. I was never going to get the complete third part of the message. I could stop using drugs and lose the desire to use, but to find the new way to live, that was for somebody else. That wasn't for me. And then I felt embarrassed because I'm not coming to NA and telling you all that because you were some good sharing-ass people. Everybody in here, yeah, I just got a master's degree. I just got married. I just got a new Benz. I just went back. I just went to Turks and Caicos. Y'all are sharing. I'm like this, man. I got 5 years clean. I hate myself. Right? I'm in this healthy relationship. I'm like, I want to shoot my girlfriend, right? And I know she want to shoot me, right? And it's a miracle that neither one of us got open cases yet on each other. When you're not hearing people talk about this stuff, the person who's suffering is less reluctant to come in the room and talk about it. You know, so what I want to urge everybody is, listen, is that I know, because by the way, I have absolutely found a new way to live. All that stuff. Now, I'm not saying it don't play on me, right? I'm gonna tell this story. I'm not the big storyteller guy. But it was about, what year is it, 26? So it was about 4 years ago. I was in the end of a 15-year marriage, right? And we just couldn't figure out how to get out of it, right? And I have nothing bad to say about that woman. We just couldn't figure out how to get out of it. And then Like, you know, I paid the bills. I didn't know how was I going to leave, afford a spot, pay for that spot. My son, who was 19, you know, none of it made sense. But something about prayer sometimes, when you have nowhere else to go and no more doors to open and there's no moves to be made, and you know, and you would bet everything you got that the scenario you're in is the end, right? I had come to this, like, quiet, hateful surrender that at that time wasn't using drugs or anything else to replace them. At that time, I could give you a whole hour-long meeting about all the times I was using other things in the marriage, but I'm talking about at this time, at the end, I just wanted free. I wanted to be free. Not just hard. I'm talking about in here. I needed freedom. And I was like, you know, my man Donald couldn't give it to me. Nobody could give it to me. And I got forced to seek relief from a power greater than me. There was nowhere else to go. Right? And so a scenario happened. Something happened. And the next thing you know, I got all my stuff in my car. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. And when it's 4 o'clock in the morning, you got all the stuff in your car, right? And I could have gone and got, like, a hotel room. But in my mind, I'm like, man, that just seems even more depressing than the fact that I'm not in the house I paid for anymore. So I'm like, wait, and my mom's still there. You know, you go to mom's house. I lived at home since I was 18, right? But I'm like, it's like the October-ish. And so I go to my mom's house, and I'm at my mom's, and I'm like, you know, she even asked me. She just opened the door and said, come on in, right? Yep. I came in. I was like, you know what? Because you know how, like, when you end up in a scenario and then you come up with a plan on how this is about to go and you make your plan? So I had the plan in my mind. I'm like, it's October. I'm going to chill. I'll stay here until January 1st. You know what I mean? Like, you know, through the holidays, and then get a new spot. Because I had, you know, I had the ability to get a spot financially. So I was like, I'm home for, so me and my ex broke up. I left. I'm in my mom's house sleeping on a bed that's this big. Feels like I'm in jail. You know, little ass room, little ass bed. I had a business for about 14 years. 2 weeks after that, my partner, 14 years, she got this position she couldn't turn down. You know, so she left. So 14 years. So end of a marriage. 2 weeks later, end of a 14-year business. Right. A month later, right as I'm like looking to like look for spots to go get, my mom gets diagnosed with a terminal illness, in which, like, I'm like. Like, I was glad to be there, but, like, you know, I ain't gonna lie. Part of me was like, now I gotta be here. Some bullshit. I'm trying to go out. Because if you ever been in a relationship and then you imagine what's gonna be like when you get out? Like, maybe you happy in your relationship, but you just having a bad day, right? I know I'm the only one, right? Especially for the men, maybe probably the women too. For me, it was like this. I was like, I'm about to go get a condo down Center City. Right now, I'm going to get the condo, like, the 12th floor, and you know the rest. You know what I mean? I'm going to stay single with the condo, and I'm going to be out here. You know, I had this idea on what my single life was about to look like, that I was about to endeavor on. So I didn't count on losing the business 2 weeks later, and I didn't count on having my mom get diagnosed with a terminal illness. And I had my step-pop there, but he wasn't really prepared to do what needed to be done. So I stayed and I took care of my mom, right? And yeah, it was just like one of the most difficult things I've ever done. Because when you're watching somebody, there's nobody who's ever loved me like her and nobody who ever will, right? So when you are walking through the end of life with somebody like that, it's hard, man. You know, and then at this time, so, and then, you know, because I told you I was like, had this plan, like in the September, October, I was going to like wild out in the streets, you know, get a new condo and I'm going to knock them down. It's going to be crazy. I'm going to be out here because I'm just coming out of a 15-year run and I'm going to go crazy. And I have my old sponsor, Kurt, my old sponsor, I ain't seen him in long, long time. He's been clean as long as I've been alive. Literally. A man's about to have 49. And I ain't seen him in a long time. And I went to the meeting that's outside of the area. And he was there. And he's like, what's going on, man? I'm like, ah, yeah, me and him just, you know, broke up. And I'm whatever. And he's like this. He's like, man, I've known you since you're 18. He's like, you're about to fuck your life up, ain't you? That's what he said to me. You know what I mean? Because he knew me. I was like, nah, you know. He's like, listen, why don't you sit down for 90 days before you go on a run? Why don't you just give yourself 90 days, sit down. You know what I mean? Because if you don't sit down now, you will have to sit down later. And who knows how long you have to sit down later for. So why don't you just sit down or not? You know, let me know what happens. And he walked off. So I was like, so I knew it was right. So I sat down November. I sat down, decided Thanksgiving. You know, like when you break up and it's Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's and you lost your business and your mom's dying. So I sat down in November. I sat down in December. I sat down in January. And I'm like, yeah, this is pretty good, man. I'm coming straight. Sat down February. You know, Eagles went to the Super Bowl. I was hype. They lost, but it was still hype. You know, sat down most March. Then March, I end up going, and this is funny, when God just does stuff when you ain't looking, right? So they asked me to come out and share in Seattle. Now listen, I've gone to a lot of conventions, you know, since I've been 18. A lot. Tons. Not even for this. I like the atmosphere. I like people. I like coffee. I like talking shit in the lobby till 5 in the morning. I'm about this life, right? So, and I've been to, you know, going to Ocean City, Maryland, you know, the big joint since I was 18, and there's lots of opportunity to while out there. When if you're looking to do that, you find whatever you're looking to do. And I've been going down there since I was a teenager. I never. And now I don't think it's like, how much of this is a spiritual choice or not. I just never hooked up with nobody at a convention ever. Right? I just wasn't looking for it. I'm just at the convention doing other shit. But so they asked me to come to Clean and Free. And long story short, I hook up at the convention. You know what I mean? You know, I meet Darcy T. And this was like the last thing. If you from, like a lot of y'all from around here. So you know when you from a place and you lived in a place, like how that place kind of becomes part of you, right? So I had that fully in me. I'm like, you know, I'm like, man, I'm from Philly. I ain't never leaving Philly. Fuck y'all. Like, this is kind of my attitude. Even with the spiritual climb, I ain't never leaving. Go Birds. Give me a cheesesteak and a water ice. You know, just the whole thing. I'm never leaving. I like parallel parking. I like driving around for 40 minutes looking for parking tickets. I like everything. All the problems, all the smoke, I'm about it. Right? I like my home group, my old home group, being Lehigh in Kensington. It's loud. Half the people hate it. They're talking half the meeting. It's a mess. You know, it's for me. Right? So I was not going to Seattle talking about, I can't wait to move to the Pacific Northwest. These people are different, y'all. I was like, I'm not going to hang out with these people. Like, you know, I'd be talking and they're like, why are you so, you know, you're talking loud and, you know, I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, call your sponsor, all right? Get over it. But so I went out and so I'm hanging out with Darcy T and the second day we're together, she asked me to pray with her. Listen, this shit, it jammed me up, man. I was unprepared for the will you pray with me thing. Because I don't really come from a place like that. I come from a scenario and a situation where it's like, yo, talk with your hands, you talk shit, and then you let it go with little words. You know what I mean? Like, we good? All right, let's keep it moving. Right? And I think that because of where I come from and how I come from there, that is healing. And come to find out, it isn't, right? And so I ended up spending the next year. That's right, you can walk by, don't worry. You can go in front. Come on. I spent the next year going back and forth on a plane. You can't talk, though. Like, you can walk in front. You can't be talking, man. talk too. You know, that's Anna. Do what you want. I just said I like the people talking. Damn. Yeah, so I spent the next year flying back and forth to Seattle, cultivating a relationship with a woman, and learning. I don't know if it's healthy or not, because that should be overrated to me. I don't know. Healthy, not healthy. All I know is that, that she has challenged me in ways that I have never been challenged before. Right? And because, listen, I still got this thing in me where I'm like this. What'd you say? I'm leaving. It's over. Get the bags. You know, I'm ready to get the bags. I'm like, you already know I don't even like it here. Not our house. Like, I like our house. But I'm like, you know, and it's funny because I actually like it there too. Listen, we went out there. She was like that. I was in a visit, and Darcy T goes like this. Do you want to go hiking with me? I'm like, hiking's what you do when you don't got no subway tokens. When I'm trying to get on the subway at Broad-N-Tasker, and they got the wrong dude who won't let you hop the turnstile, like you can't, like you got to hike up Broad Street. That's the only hiking I know about. So I was uninterested in hiking. I'm like, I don't know people that hike. That shit is crazy. But you know, like when you in love and shit, you know what I mean? You've been together for a couple months, you'll do anything. So I was like, man, I'll go hiking. Let's go hiking. Listen, so we're in this thing. We're hiking up, and it's just trees everywhere. And these things are called switchbacks. So some of y'all probably know switchbacks like this. It's just for like 2 hours. You're just going like this. I'm like, and I'm trying to look like I got it, Don. I'm like, I'm dying, man. I'm dying. You can't see nothing. And I imagine, and I know, because I remember getting clean. I remember getting clean and showing up. And I couldn't see. I didn't know what was happening here. Right? But y'all told me just to keep coming. Right? Keep coming. You all told me don't leave five minutes before the miracle happens. So I'm surrounded these trees. I'm just walking. I keep walking. You know, I keep walking. I'm sweating. My bones hurt. You know, Darcy, I got my backpack. And then, you know, Darcy, she's like, here, take my backpack. I'm like, Dad, I got two backpacks. You know what I mean? So I'm walking, and we get to the top, like an hour up, and it's this big, huge clearing overlooking the most beautiful shit I've ever seen in my life. Like this blue water and green trees. And I remember just sitting up there thinking, like, there's a reason. Like, listen, I was in pain going up that mountain, man. Right? And there is purpose to the pain. There's a reason to show up. There's a reason to sweat and grind it out. And there's a reason to keep going. And there's a reason when the people need your help and they try to give you their bag and you think that you're already too much with your own bag. But remember that, you know, we can only keep what we have by giving it away. So I got to show up and help the people. There is no such thing as my life's too much. I got too much going on. I can't help nobody. Yeah. Right? I used to say shit like this back in the day. I'm too jammed up. It's too much. I got to figure my shit. No, you figure your stuff out, Brian, through helping people. Right? God will sort you and them out together. It's called the first tradition. It says our common welfare comes first. Brian, personal recovery, your clean date, depends upon you being unified with the person you hate the most. Not the ones that you get along with. We know that you go with them. But the ones that you can't stand, we was out to lunch, we was talking about the crazy NA members who are in the meeting, talking about they're going to cut people's throats and, you know, they're like, look, you know, people are nuts. This is NA. This ain't, you know, wherever the normal people go, you know, it ain't here. So we are filled with crazy, mentally ill, non-medicated people, issue trigger happening. You know, there's a lot going on at the function, right? But our jobs, it says, the first tradition says, yo, Brian, your clean date is contingent upon you being unified with that guy. Now, I'm not saying you got to let him in your house. and all that, and you got to let the crazy, knife-wielding, mentally ill, non-medicated guy over to your house for dinner. But when you in the meeting, you better treat him with the same reverence that you treat the main speaker on Saturday night. Right? We used to have a guy in North Philly, his name was Lester. Lester was rough. Lester was drunk for 30 years. Am I right? Lester was this tall, right? He was like 4 foot, 5 foot maybe. I'm being a little jerk. But he was like 5'2", always drunk. He would come in and be like, hey, let me get a cigarette. Give me a cigarette. And then when you didn't give him a cigarette, he'd curse you out. You know what I mean? He'd roll around on the floor in the middle of the meeting. Then he would put his hand up. And, you know, you look around the meeting, half the people are looking like, this effort. But then, you know, then you had the chairperson who would call on him. And you're like, unbelievable, calling on this guy. But check it out. We already talked about the, like, the beginning of the meeting. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop. Lester was more committed to showing up than tons of other people I've seen who stopped coming. Lester showed up till the day he died from COVID, right? You know, so there's the shit that I need to learn from Lester. And there was things I could give to him. And I'd be so mad. One time he asked me for a cigarette. I said, get the F away from me, Lester, because I was in my bag. They're like, oh, I'm mad and I'm having a day. And Lester, like, gave me the shoulder. And I was about to choke Lester 15th of York. And no other than I saw Najee was like, why don't you just give him the cigarette? You know what I mean? Just give him the cigarette. And then I stopped smoking. They started asking me for money. So you know what? Every time I see Lester, then I'll be in my... I'm not giving Lester no money. He just go buy alcohol and I ain't feed nobody. So it's like, you know what? I felt more free when I started getting... Every time I see him, I wouldn't even wait for him. Every time I see Lester, I gave him $5. Every time. I'm not saying that to him. Look, I'm a great guy. I'm just saying... I felt more free when I was just able to give Lester a couple dollars. Did Lester go buy a fifth of something? Probably. You know what I mean? But I even know, it's not my business what happens after I give God my will and my life, right? The third, like, I don't get to decide, you know what? I like Donald, Austin, Shorty, Karen, Kathy, Patrick. That's it. Those are the people I want in my life. I don't want nobody else because, you know, I got to make some choices to keep the, you know, I got to shave some people out of my life now because they're not healthy for me. This is crazy shit we say, right? I can't afford to have the spiritual, you know, they're not really living the program and I need, it's like this. Yo, Brian, when God, I imagine God talking to me and saying this. When did you think it was up to you to decide who is and is not in your life? When did you all of a sudden gain the power to make the decisions about who I want to have in your life? God's like, yo, you turned your will and your life over to me. So I'll make the decision about who's coming in and who's going out. And what your job is to let go of it and just be in service to whoever's in front of you. Because if I was completely reliant and stuck on the people I wanted in my life, like the people I got clean with, Patrick, none of them are here. So I would have been jammed up. All those young people I ran around with, there's a couple that came back. But I'm saying for the most part, not they're all gone. So I always got to be moving. I always got to be open. I always got to be willing to say, hey, God, listen, whoever you want to put, all I want to do is really, I want to be able to share with the suffering addict, the person who suffered in silence, what it's like to hike up the mountain and come out the top and see a view that you ain't never seen before. Listen, that's happening in Narcotics Anonymous. We talk about in our, I think it's either the 7th or 11th tradition in our God in Principles book, it says, you know, the view is breathtaking. So check it out, newcomer, old-timer, in-betweener. I'm going to say this and be quiet. Because I don't want you to be able to walk out of the convention and be like, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure how to stay clean. Get a sponsor. Don't get no sponsor you ain't going to call. Because if you got a sponsor, if you got a sponsor right now, and you ain't talked to your sponsor in 6 months, you don't got no fucking sponsor. And I'm not judging you. I'm telling you I know because I've done it. I remember what it was like managing my own life. And I know what it's like knowing how sick I am with all my clean time, knowing that I need to be under direct supervision regularly, right? Don't let me off the least too long. I need a sponsor who I'm actively connected and engaged with, doing the thing that is called How It Works, that I'm doing 2026 step work with. Right? And I say 2026 step work because 95 step work ain't no good in 2026. It ain't no good. So I need to be doing 2026 step work because I got a disease that's manifesting itself, right? They don't need me to add water to it. You know, I need a sponsor. Let's check it. Get a sponsor, right? Get a home group. Home group is, when you read, the 12 traditions are absolutely necessary for us to survive together in order to keep a clean date and experience the message. So where do I learn about it? The shit tells us, I'm not listening. We talk to members and visit various groups, right? And a home group is somewhere where I am designated and committed to be in service. And check it out, it's how you get in the middle of the boat so when that thing starts waving, you won't fall off. So I got a home group. I don't love it, but I got it in Seattle, right? Listen, you come on a Wednesday night to Beacon Hill. So I don't even know I forget the name of the place is called, but it's Wednesday night. It's called the RVNA group. I don't even know what RV stands for. Don't care. Is it recreational vehicle? Could be. Don't know. RVNA. It's the RVNA group, Wednesday night, 7 to 8:15. And check it out. I got the coffee commitment. Right? I make coffee. Right? I'm 32 years clean next month. I'm not the convention speaker. I'm the fucking coffee maker. I make coffee a lot more than I do this. There ain't no such thing as circuit speakers and all the bullshit that we be putting on people. There's NA members, right? And we're all suffering from the same illness. So stop, you know, putting the people who are up here that God, I'm not saying God called me, but I believe God called the other people to do a job. They just come up here, do their job, and go home, and hopefully they go home and go to their own group. Yeah. Right? So I'm telling you, you can find me on a Wednesday at RVNA in Seattle, making the coffee. We're there at 5:30, 6 o'clock. So I got a sponsor. His name's Jimmy T. I didn't ask him because he speaks everywhere. My man Jimmy be speaking everywhere. But you know why I asked him? Because I don't care about this shit. Right? What I cared about was I got asked to share his home group. And I'm a home group junkie. So I went to his home group, which is Monday night, I forget what it's called, but it's Monday night in Perth Amboy, New Jersey. And his home group starts at 8 o'clock, right? But I get everywhere early. I'm like defectively early. It's not even like spiritual. I'm like defectively early. When I'm not early, I start getting antsy and shit. I'm looking at my girl like, yo, what's going on? I'm snapping. So I was up at Jimmy's home group like 45 minutes early, right? In the parking lot, and the first one to pull in was Jimmy. And I'm not saying this, I'm saying this because you've heard the convention, well, not all y'all, but some of y'all have heard like the convention Jimmy story. But I'm talking about the Jimmy who gets to his home group 45 minutes early and is quietly setting up chairs, Jimmy, and has a couple newcomers sitting next to him. Sick, wacko newcomers, you know, who he's breathing life into, right? So that's why I asked this guy to sponsor, because that was something I could respect, right? So I got a sponsor, I got a home group, I do the step work with them, sponsor, home group, step work. I'm involved in prayer. Whatever that looks like for you, it doesn't matter. It is your right to have a relationship with the God of your own understanding. So whatever that looks like, and whatever prayer looks like for you, get involved in it. And then the last piece is service. I'm involved in service. I think the 12, I'm going to say this and be quiet for real, about service. I remember when I went through the 12 steps, I looked at the end of it, I looked at my inventory, my condition spiritually prior to a first step. And I was thinking about how self-consumed and self-aware and self-obsessed and just self, everything was me and how can I? Why, and the victim, and why is this happening to me, and how can I get it off of me, and why can't I, and when will I, and this was my existence prior to the first step. And then I looked at it, and a lot happened through that 12, which I could walk you through, but at the end of 12, it said, having had a spiritual awakening as a result. So then I was like, fuck, I was asleep. Because now it's saying that, yo, you're waking up spiritually as a result. We're not saying guys and men and women. We're not saying that you don't have awakenings that have nothing to do with the steps, because people will be wanting to argue about this shit. But we're just talking about what the 12 steps say. It says having that spiritual awakening as a result. That means like, yo, you did these 11, and now you're about to have your spirit be awake, which means at one time it was asleep, right? But now that it's awake, you have a job to do. Brian, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to addicts. How do we do that? We do that in every single way we move. We do it on the phone. We do it when we're in our cars. We do it at Coco's. We do it wherever we are. And however we do it on planes, wherever we're moving, however we're maneuvering, we are in the midst of carrying the message, right? And trying to practice these principles in all our affairs. And the problem is that it talks about in our Living Clean book, it says that if we don't do the work today, it says we will doze off again. We will go back to sleep. Do you ever, try to like, you know, because I used to get mad when I was dealing with people in NA, right? And I'd be like, you know, and I know they didn't do no step work. They ain't done no work. Or maybe they ain't done no work in a long time. And then they're acting like animals in their clean time. And I can't believe they're acting like animals because I think that they shouldn't be because of their clean date. But I ain't read shit, so I don't really know that they just, they're not animals. They're just asleep spiritually. So then I got to ask myself, yo, B, are they insane or are you insane for trying to treat and expect somebody who's asleep to be awake? You ever try to? You ever try to expect a motherfucker that's sleeping to be awake? That's crazy. Don't listen. If you hooked up tonight and somebody's sleeping, just have a conversation with them, right? Just try having a dialogue with somebody who's unconscious later, right? And then if you get mad at them that it's not a back and forth situation, you can know you're not having it because they're unconscious. So I gotta recognize that when I woke up spiritually, I was like, man, I've been running around my whole life treating people, you know, and being mad at them and having unrealistic expectations on people because they're sleeping, man. But the 12th step says, yo, you awake now. So your job is to help other people that are sleeping wake up. That's your job. That's our job collectively. So I do this. So if you didn't hear shit I said, sponsor, home group, step work, prayer, and service. And these five things will guarantee that you never, ever, ever have to use drugs again. Thanks, let me share.